Thank you for listening to another episode of the Shed Geek Podcast here at Union Grove Lumber Studios.
To know more about the Shed Geek Podcast, visit us at shedgeek.com.
And for all your lumber needs, call one of the team members at 704-539-5506 or visit us online at uniongrovelumber.com.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Shed Geek Podcast, and got Buddy on today. Buddy, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit about what you do, who you work for, how you operate, sir, so the audience is familiar if they don't know you already?
Absolutely. My name is Buddy Pullen. Like you mentioned, I live in Central Virginia, but I work for Amerilux International. Right now, we're a value-added distributor and a manufacturer of PVC products. But basically, in the industry, all things plastic, whether it be HDPE, whether it be FRP for floors and walls, PVC liner panels, polycarbonate for daylighting issues. If you're interested in anything plastic, most of the time I'll be able to help you out. If not, I'll know somebody that can help you out and I'll help you find what you need.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show, Buddy. We appreciate it. So I'm probably most familiar probably with like the corrugated polycarbonate sheets. I've seen that a few different times go on sheds. What is sort of your space? We talk about this a lot on the podcast. The shed space is kind of, it's easy to identify, but it's constantly growing. It's like now you get into all these other products, especially if you're a shed dealer, you have multiple things that you might be able to sell. Post frame buildings come up, you know, quite a bit. They'll sell large metal structures. But I've seen these on a shed for the most part, the corrugated polycarbonate sheets. Is that kind of where you meet the shed space specifically, or is there some other areas I should be more aware of?
So it started really for me a couple years ago as the greenhouse kick really started to take off. You know, as more and more states legalize, everyone wants a greenhouse. And that's kind of where it started, where if you're building a shed, you're already in the greenhouse business. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
If you don't put the walls and the roof on, if you go with a transparent plastic, you know, either clear or a soft light, depending on where you're at in the world, you're now in the shed or the greenhouse business. And where that is evolving to is now I'm seeing combination buildings that are half storage shed with walls and a roof and a section on the back or half greenhouse where you can walk through the shed to the greenhouse area versus a dedicated greenhouse, because a lot of those dedicated greenhouses end up becoming sheds eventually. So that business is migrating to sort of the combination building. That was my entry into the shed world and how I got introduced to a lot of these customers. What it has become now, the corrugated, like you mentioned, you're usually in a 9-inch on center profile. People call it ag panel, low rib, D rib, but it's the basic 9-inch on center. That's sort of a price point greenhouse that's going to be, you know, the lowest cost in the building material side. And then these guys are now starting to offer a multi-wall version, which is still polycarbonate, but it's a flat sheet with a fluted core. It's a little, I guess, depending on your point of view, it may be a little nicer looking. So it's kind of a price point entry level greenhouse. And then they offer upgrades, different models, whether they add, you know, wainscoting or anything else to change it up a little bit. It started with a low level entry level greenhouse and it started to expand into a bigger business. And now what that has become even more is taking the PVC, the liner panels, and doing insides of sheds, creating she sheds and outside spaces. I've worked with some people that will use a shed for an outside office. Someone that works at home every day, that maybe doesn't necessarily want an in-home office because the kids are running around or the dog's barking or, there's distractions when you work in your home. So what they'll do is put a shed outside, run electric out there, finish the inside with this liner panel. And when they go to work every day, they actually leave the house and go to work. So it gives them a little bit of outside space outside of the home. It started with greenhouses. It's morphed into all sorts of applications, even to the point where I've sold, still sell polycarb to some builders who will put it just in the gable ends on a standard shed. So if you have a shed out in your yard, you don't necessarily have to run lights to it. You can daylight it that way. So it's not just for greenhouses. There's an unlimited number of options with these plastic products that you can use in the space.
So on the polycarbonate, on the corrugated, it could come in a clear panel. It can come in a solid panel. The benefit to the greenhouse is obviously many people are getting those in the clear or transparent panel so they can get sunlight in. I've seen them just on the roofs of a couple different sheds. It's rare, at least in my experience so far, but what's sort of the benefit versus sort of traditional, you know, metal or shingled roof, outside of the sunlight, actually, you know, for a greenhouse, what's sort of some benefits from some of the products that you guys offer?
So as far as the roof goes, I mean, the main benefit is going to be daylight into the building, whether it's the roof or the gable, you know, and it just keeps you from having to have electricity out in the building or anything like that. You know, outside of just daylighting the building, you know, there's no real structural benefit to it. If you don't want daylight in the building, longevity wise, you're going to be better with, you know, a plywood subroof and then shingles or whatever you're putting on it, metal. You know, that's going to last longer. Polycarbonate, if installed correctly, you're going to get a good 15, 20 year lifespan out of it. And I say installed correctly, it's not just my plastic, it's any plastic on the market. The biggest headache with any manufacturer is the installation. A lot of guys do not pre-drill. And on the plastic, you got to pre-drill about 3/16 larger. You know, it's plastic at the end of the day, and it's going to expand and contract in temperature fluctuation. There's no way around it. Whether you buy it from me or anyone else, that plastic is going to do the same thing. If you don't allow it to expand and contract over time, you're going to develop spider cracks around the fasteners, and you're going to have a bad experience with it. If installed correctly, you know, that's not an issue. So I would, you know, make sure you consult the manufacturer, consult your buyer, your vendor, whoever's selling to you, ask them about that. Make sure that you're aware of it. Make sure you follow those steps as close as you can. But as far as, you know, outside of the daylighting, you know, for the poly, that's really the main benefit there. The PVC on the interior, the benefit really is it's not drywall. So you're not having to go back and mud and tape and sand and mud and tape and sand. It's one step installation and you're finished. And it's PVC. So I see it in dog kennels. I think some people call them pooch palaces. You can go in there with a pressure washer and clean the walls out and you're fine. You're back to normal and you're back clean again.
No, great point, especially as we see the rise of like these other ancillary products like dog kennels and chicken coops and things like that becoming more common, greenhouses becoming more common. But you touched on something I thought was kind of interesting, you know, on the finished out product. We're also seeing a large demand for that. So like what used to be a shed guy that would just put together an outbuilding, throw something out there and try to find a way to deliver it to you safely has turned into like this much bigger product to where all of a sudden you don't know where almost one in part of the industry ends and another begins. I mean, tiny homes is like, you know, it's like, is it a phase? Is it here to stay? We really don't know. But I think affordable housing is what a lot of people are looking for. So like even some of the different projects and people that we've interviewed, they've started like different projects around cities for homeless or creating an RV park with multiple units that you can, you know, rent from, some on chassis, some are just put on a foundation or at least on the notched runners. I mean, it's very common for us to see a finished out but not modular certified product. So like maybe it's got an interior, it's got an electric package, it's finished out except for the plumbing. Are you seeing more of a call for things like this? And if so, what do you see? Like the plastic sheets, the acrylic solid sheets, the polycarbonate sheets? I mean, you guys offer so many products. What would be most common for a shed builder?
So in that instance, yes, I am seeing it. It's almost a morphing of two worlds. So the shed builders are leaning into residential applications on a smaller scale. They're leaning into the frame building world on a smaller scale. You mentioned even in chicken houses or the dog houses, you know, it's almost like a small scale commercial agriculture sort of application. So, you know, it's no longer just a shed out in the backyard you keep your lawnmower in anymore. You know, now it's an outside office. It's a chicken house. It's a lot of things. You know, for us, what I'm seeing, you know, obviously, like I said, the greenhouse is driving a lot of it. That's where it started, but it's changing into, and mainly really the liner panel more than anything is being used as an interior finish. You know, there's two levels of PVC interior liner. One of them is going to be in that 9-inch on center profile, like you would see in metal or like you would see in the polycarbonate. That's really a price point liner panel. That's chickens or even dogs in some cases. And then the snap together liner panel, which is actually all head and fastener. It's a waterproof system, so you can pressure wash the walls without worrying about getting the framing behind it wet. You know, that's going into the outside office space, the she sheds, the craft rooms. You know, things of that nature. Those are the two main products that I'm seeing go into that shed world. Some other products like the FRP on a smaller scale, but not necessarily quite as much. You know, it really depends on the application. But those two, the greenhouse and the finished space, are really seem to be what's driving the bulk of the business.
Yeah, as I look through sort of the website a little bit, AmeriluxInternational.com. I'm looking at some of the different products that you guys are, you know, putting out, from multi-wall polycarbonate with several subcategories underneath that, corrugated PVC panels and wall forms. Am I saying this right? Lexan ThermoClick.
Lexan. It depends on where you're from. I think okay. Everybody's familiar with Lexan brand name. You know, you see it on I see it on MythBusters all the time when they call Lexan their bulletproof glass. You know, but we're not selling anything that thick or that robust into the shed world, but it's the same manufacturer. So we're actually the master distributor in the U.S. for Lexan product.
Managing your rent-to-own contracts just got easier with RTO Smart. Designed by leaders in the rent-to-own storage industry, RTO Smart was handcrafted to enable you with the tools needed to manage your own contracts your way without using a third-party rent-to-own company. RTO Smart is your one-stop shop, allowing you to generate contracts and manage customer accounts from start to finish while maintaining simplicity and flexibility. Call us today at 316-618-9396 or visit our website at rtosmart.com to schedule a live demo and discover why RTO Smart may be right for your business.
Okay, so now are you seeing any of that in the shed space?
No, not really, not much. A little bit of the Lexan multi-wall. You know, I say a little bit. You know, the multi-wall that I sell into the shed space is the Lexan multi-wall, just because it carries such a strong warranty. The cost difference isn't huge between that and other brands, and for the peace of mind and the extended warranty and the quality that comes with it. It makes sense, and there's some confidence behind that brand name for that shed builder. You know, their greenhouse can be out on the lot with that Lexan brand name tagged to it, and you know, if the guy down the road is selling the same greenhouse for $100 less, but I can get Lexan polycarbonate on my greenhouse here, you know, that's where I'm going as a consumer, because that, like I said, the confidence in that brand name. So, you know, yes, I am selling that into that world, but not the same product you see on MythBusters. That's something different. And if they need a bulletproof shed, I would I'd maybe ask them to second guess their life choices and why do you need a bulletproof shed? That would make me worry a little.
That's a very fair point. Yeah, I've yet to have anybody ask for a bulletproof shed, but you know what? There will be a customer out there.
There will be a time, I'm sure. Yeah, there will certainly be a time. You know, I get some strange requests from time to time. It's some things that are just out of the box completely, and some one-offs, which are always interesting. But a lot of times you see those, you know, those one-offs really take off as a whole line and grow into something that it wasn't before. And that's sort of the instance with the dog houses. The very first package I sold of plastic for someone that was building dog houses was probably 2 years ago. It seemed almost off. Like this doesn't make sense. I don't know why you would need this for a dog house, but okay, you know, we'll give it a shot. And now it's grown regular with that customer and expanded to other bases. So it's It's an out of the box idea that kind of grew some legs and took off.
Well, you kind of talked about that hybrid shed and greenhouse, and I felt like I'm just seeing more and more of those all the time. One of the first ones I saw was in Northern Indiana, and my wife fell in love with it. So we had to leave quickly because we're 300 miles from home at that point. I'm like, we're not dragging this thing back home with us, but it is awesome. Tell me a little bit about Amerilux as a company. You're recently joined the crew, or you've been there for a long time, or how does that work?
For about 15 months. Joined in January of 2023. I had been in this business probably about 8 or 9 years prior. Amerilux used to be a customer. I used to sell to them. I fell in love with the people, the culture, the way they do business. It just made sense. I knew from the first time I was there and meeting with them that if I ever left the current role, that was somewhere I'd like to be. It's kind of a people first company. You know, yes is always the answer. We'll just have to figure out, you know, how to get there. They have a list of culture statements that they read to me the first time I was up. It aligned with who I am as a person naturally without any effort. It made perfect sense to me. You know, and privately held, not a big corporation, not international money. You know, that's always attractive. You know, I have a direct line to the decision maker and the boss. That's important to me. It's based right here in the U.S. So we're not, I saw a lot of profit dollars funneled overseas during COVID, and that never sat well with me. You know, it kind of left the country and went to shareholders in other countries, and it wasn't reinvested in improving and manufacturing and innovation. And Amerilux is exactly the opposite, almost sometimes, in my opinion, maybe to a fault, that it's all put back in. It's all put back in to improve, to expand, to grow. Just in the time that I've known them as a customer, they've probably doubled or tripled in size, and they're doing it. And they're still maintaining that small company feel. Everybody knows everyone's name. It's a nice environment to work in. And at the end of the day, a paycheck is a paycheck, yes, but I have to like what I'm doing. I have to believe in what I'm doing, and I have to respect the people that I'm doing it for. And Amerilux gave me the best opportunity to check all of those boxes. I couldn't be happier with the company. They are everything I thought they were from the outside looking in. Now on the inside, I realize it's not a sales pitch. It's not smoke and mirrors. It is actually a legitimate culture that everyone lives and eats and sleeps and breathes, and it's refreshing to say the very least.
So how do you feel like it? So like on their website, they mentioned celebrating 20 years. Where do you think that like plastics and PVC is just in general going? And then how do you think that sort of is relatable to the shed industry? I mean, we're talking about the roofing system for a portion of what meets the shed industry. But I mean, what about, siding? I mean, what about sheds, being created? Like, we see some crazy stuff nowadays. I've seen a shed recently created out of a 3D printer. So like you just see everything. There's a company that I'm getting ready to work with here that does a monolithic concrete pour for like a tornado shelter. You know what I mean? That's close by, and we're wanting to buy one of those products. And I'm like, man, like all these different products that's different than just traditional stick built, they add value, but they add options, and customers want more options than they ever had. And they enjoy that. So, and with the rise of online sales and being able to shop around and compare through e-commerce opportunities to purchase, like it's where do you think it's going? I mean, obviously they're investing in this for a reason. So like, what's your overall thoughts on that?
Well, and if COVID taught me one thing, it is that I have no clue what the future holds. When that started happening, there was a moment of fear where it was, turn down production, slow down. We're going into a recession. This is going to be bad news for the building materials industry. And that was a thought that was pretty commonly shared across the board. We were dead wrong, 180 degrees off. So it was exactly the other way. So I have no idea, no crystal ball. If I were to guess, though, I see that the shed industry moving into exactly what you mentioned earlier, a version of affordable housing. You know, housing has gotten almost out of reach, especially starting out for a small family. The tiny house thing, I had some experience with in the past in a residential roofing application, a high wind, lightweight roof, which was perfect for tiny houses because they go down the road. So I got some exposure to that industry, and there's something there. It was a bit of a bubble. It has shrunk, but it's not gone. And with, you know, you see the news every night, it's all about global warming. It's all about price increases. It's all about the cost of living. You know, I think we're going to see a shift back into that industry, that mindset, a smaller footprint, a more affordable housing option. I think it's going that direction. Outside of that, who knows what the future holds? You know, that 3D printed shed was new. That's news to me, and I'm in the industry, so it's changing constantly. Consumers are going to drive the demand. I think the consumer is certainly more price-minded than they were years ago. They're certainly more now environmentally educated. They're more concerned about their carbon footprint. Is it a recycled material? Is it a recyclable material? I think those are going to be things important, in the future. And we're addressing that across the board in the industry, not just Amerilux, but I think everyone is looking to that, how can we get recycled materials into this product? How can we make sure this product is post-life recyclable? To kind of put that green stamp on it, that's going to be important. The consumer is going to drive the demand, and that's what they want. So that's what we're looking for. But to tell you what plastics is going to be 20 years from now, I wouldn't even try. I expect if you talk to anyone at Amerilux, you talked about the 20-year anniversary. If they would have predicted today's situation 20 years ago, I would be awfully surprised because it changes constantly.
Well, you touched on something there that I do like to address from time to time, and probably just need to do like a show on that completely. We find this in some of our other business adventures and things that we do is like customers don't always shop the way that you shop. And you touched on something there that I think is super important. Is the customer drives the focus of what you're doing. And we're a fairly conservative industry. So a lot of times I think we get that stinking thinking. You ever heard of that? You know what I mean? Sometimes you get caught up in sort of the way that you do things. And the industry might be affected by outside thought. And people are concerned about that, right? Like the carbon footprint and things like that. And we try to stay away from because that can get real political really fast, right? But it's just really paying attention to the market and seeing what it's doing, not so much trying to invoke our own personal bias on the shopper. But there are folks who are strong in that opinion. They're going to be a strong driving force of the economy as well, too. So I don't know. I just think trying to figure all that out. And when you're maybe a shed manufacturer as a dealer network of 300 or 900 dealers, maybe you look at that a little bit different than if you're a shed dealer or manufacturer and you're sort of a one man operation or a mom and pop store that, puts out, $500,000, $1 million a year worth of sales, and you just kind of keep everything in house and you do it yourself and you just one man show kind of thing or whatever. So you probably have to prepare for those things differently. Is what I would say. So I'm glad you touched on it as far as like how people are thinking. How do you guys distribute? You say, we're not necessarily a large company, but I think you guys work, probably do some distribution of some of your products through maybe some of the big box stores or have some relationship there. And I want to make sure I'm doing justice to your company here. So I want you to share and not me.
This is James Price of ShedPro on Faith in Business. It is all too common for us to hear these days that business is bad, that capitalism is exploiting people. Sure, bad businesses exist, and yes, capitalism has caused many terrible exploitations around the world. But we shouldn't lose focus on the fact that entrepreneurs, like each of you, are heroes of today. Let me give you a few examples of what capitalism and entrepreneurship has accomplished over the last 200 years. 200 years ago, 85% of the world's population lived in extreme poverty. now only 16%. Life expectancy jumped from an average of 30 years to now 68 years. We went from a world of almost complete illiteracy to now 84% of adults can read. Globally, the average income has increased by over 1,000%. John McKay said it wonderfully. Entrepreneurs solve problems by creatively envisioning different ways the world could and should be. With their imagination, creativity, passion, and energy, they are the greatest creators of widespread change in the world. The world needs each of you. God has called you to create. As an entrepreneur, you've experienced the invigorating power that comes from helping customers, suppliers, and investors. You actually enjoy solving problems. And success is when you can see the fruit of the work of your hands. We have been created in the image of an entrepreneurial God. Creating something out of nothing is common practice for God. That same spirit is within us as we create something out of nothing every day within our businesses. We're all called to create. It is our choice to use that creative problem-solving energy within each of us and pour it into our communities to benefit others and to glorify God. This is James Price. Thanks for listening.
So, and you're right. We do distribute through some big box stores. We're stocked in Menards, all the Menards in the upper Midwest. And we're actually currently loading into about 900 Lowe's locations. So we'll be distributed through Lowe's, through Menards, some small scale on the cooperatives, you know, the Orgles, the Do It Best, the True Values of the world. And a lot of direct sales. You know, where I make my living is you know, direct sales to these shed builders, these guys that, you know, you don't have to order a full truck to buy direct all the time, depending on where, you know, everybody always asks me, well, what does it cost? And that's a loaded question. That it depends. You know, how much are you getting and where is it going? Because you know, I've got, you know, how much do I have to buy to get free freight? And let's be clear, there is no such thing as free freight. Somebody's got to pay it. You know, if with enough volume that freight can be wrapped into the material price. So I'm fine with calling it prepaid, but I never call it free because that's just not true. And I'm not going to mislead anybody. Freight's going to have to be paid, but this is the best way we can beat it. It's sort of made it my life's mission to beat the freight companies because they're just kind of in the middle. They don't help me or the customer. I tell people all the time, I want them paying for material, not for miles. So there's some real inflection points when you're ordering that you can double your volume for 20% more money. And I spend a lot of time working with customers to make sure we reach those points and they're not spending more on that freight than they have to. You know, outside of that, you know, we're shipping out of, we have a couple locations in Wisconsin. There's a warehouse down in Tampa, Florida. There's a warehouse out in Nevada, outside of Las Vegas that we ship from. So we kind of have four points nationwide. Currently looking at some expansion, you know, for again to beat that freight. That's always the kicker. You know, that's the one part of the equation that we have a hard time controlling is what we're paying to ship it. And he said that doesn't help the customer or me. So we're doing what we can to get around that. But a wide distribution network, direct sales opportunities. It's a matter of just you know, reach out, hit the office. You ask a few questions and somebody will get you to the person you need to talk to. You know, if you're a homeowner and you want a little bit of plastic to build your own personal 6x8 greenhouse in the backyard, you know, we're probably going to send you to one of these distributors, to the Lowe's or the Menards of the world, because there's no way that I can ship that to you and get it there efficiently. You're going to be better off at your local hardware store. And you can go back, you know, for something you forgot or, you know, the little onesie twosies, I missed a piece of H channel or I needed an extra ridge cap. It just makes more sense. You know, if you're the shed builder building, you know, putting out 5, 6, 7, 8 greenhouses a week or 100 a year or whatever it is, you know, and you've got space to store the material, it makes sense for you to buy from me directly. So, you know, it's my job, I guess, to have that conversation with each customer one-on-one, and regardless of potential size, I treat them all the same, to find out exactly what it is they're doing, what they want to do, what their plans are, and decide, you know, what's the best way for you to get into this. And I'm not always the best option, you know, and it is what it is. I'm not going to try to sell somebody if I don't think I'm the best option. I tell people all the time, you know, I'm 47 years old. I've got at least 20 more years in this business. And if I make enemies now, I'm not going to make it 20 more years. So, you know, even if I tell you something that steers you away from me today, you'll remember that. And if I am the right fit down the road, you'll come back. And, you know, I trust in doing right. I trust in karma and the universe making everything the way it should be. And, you know, I'm here for the marathon, not the sprint. I caught a little grief from a past employer during COVID because I didn't run my prices up. I believe in cost-based pricing. I understand demand is part of that equation, but, you know, again, I'm looking for a long-term relationship. So I'm just trying to keep the lights on and make a living. I'm not trying to gouge anybody. And that's, I trust in the fact that if I do business the right way, the business will come back to me.
Man, you said a mouthful there. Couldn't agree more. You know, what was the saying? Don't let any good crisis go to waste. And I just don't think like that. You know, it's kind of not every crisis is an opportunity. And if it is an opportunity, sometimes it's an opportunity to do something different and do something that you're going against the grain, right? Where you're trying to do the.
I view it more as an opportunity to help somebody than an opportunity to get over on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, man. I love the business philosophy. Love just sort of like your overall approach. I want to touch on one more product, ask a question or two, and then we'll get out of here. But Easy PVC, that's looks like a new product that you guys are, I guess I say new product, but the panel side of this looks interesting. And I'm thinking to myself, the interlocking liner panels, I'm trying to figure out where that meets the shed space, or maybe the post frame guys or things like that who are doing something on the inside. I don't know. Are you seeing much of that so far move?
Yes. That's when I was talking about the interior of the sheds and the liner panel, that's exactly what I was referring to. It's not new. It's sort of new to us. Merilux acquired Easy PVC a couple years ago. Another company that was a customer of mine in a past life, a customer of Amerilux's. You know, it's a small world. Everybody knows everybody. They ended up acquiring it along with the manufacturing of the Easy PVC and the AgriLite PVC product. So that's, you know, we see it in commercial food processing. We see it in car washes. We see it in interior finishes. Where I'm starting to see that expand out, you know, in the shed market, obviously, for finished spaces and inside of sheds, you know, basement ceilings, garages, you know, it just anywhere that drywall doesn't make the most amount of sense, this product's going in, and it's doing well. I'm currently building my own house, and I'm going to use that product in the garage and the laundry room. So the laundry room coming in the back of the house is going to double as a mud room. And when I come out of the garage, I'm always filthy. And I put my hands on the wall to take my shoes off, and my wife fusses because she can't get it off the wall. So that mud room is going to have this Easy Liner panel in it. And, you know, when after I get grease or mud all over the wall, I can actually take a rag back in there and wipe it off, and she won't fuss at me so much.
For those who watch on video, I want to put a few pictures up of this interlocking liner panel. I mean, I just think of like multiple uses for this immediately, just an alternative to a traditional deck, you know, on some of the cabins. But I mean, like you said before, even the dog kennels, the chicken coops and things like that, man, this is perfect to be able to like keep that, especially for those that come back. I mean, some of these things are put out on rent to own, so they get returned. They're a little bit nasty, man. You can just clean that thing up, and just move on, put it right back on the lot and get it sold.
You can hit it with a pressure washer and it's back to new.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. I think
it makes a great ceiling. I see it getting used as ceilings in basements a lot. And, you know, as a homeowner, if you want to finish your own basement, or even, you know, this whole thing started with this office space where people would buy a shed and they'd finish it themselves. And some of the shed builders are starting to see that, and they're doing the finishes. You know, and this, you don't have to do the drywall. You know, and if you bump drywall or you mar it up or you knock a hole in it, you're sanding and painting and taping and trying to match it up. You know, this eliminates all of that. It makes it one step. It makes it simple. it makes it where anybody can do it, anybody can clean it. It's just a better solution in that situation, and it really has a life there. It has a place where it fits.
How are some of these products like manufactured? They all manufactured here in the U.S. Like how does the process work? Is it similar for all of the products you carry, or is it a little bit different from one to the next?
So it's a little bit all over the map, really. Well, you know, we source right now the poly from multiple sources. You know, some U.S., some not. The PVC is all manufactured right outside of Toronto, Canada. That's where the manufacturing was when Amerilux acquired EZ PVC. No real sense in moving it. You know, we also do business in Canada, so we're either going to make it here and send it there, or make it there and send it here, kind of thing. So you know, it's a trade off either way, and moving a manufacturing site is a pretty big undertaking. That's a job. So that's up there, and this is the expansion planned, and you know, all of the expansion planned is in the U.S. with some additional warehouse space. You know, the long term goal is to grow the footprint here in the U.S. more so than anywhere else.
Perfect, man. So, what's your message to a shed builder, shed manufacturer, or maybe someone who might be using your products that would be a listener today? What's sort of your message to them? I don't want to ask for your sales pitch, because I know me and you talked about, we don't really do sales pitches. We just kind of talk about the product and what it is. But what's something you would want them to know, or what would be your message to them if you could get 1,000 people to listen all at once?
Have you ever had a customer ask you about how to supply power to their shed? Do you sell electrical kits as an upsell for your sheds currently? Do you want an easy, no-hassle option to offer for your customers when they want to add electric to their sheds? Check out EcoEthics Solar. EcoEthics Solar is looking for shed manufacturers and shed dealers who want to be able to provide a solar electric option to their line of sheds. With EcoEthics Solar, you can purchase the SunSaver, a solar product specifically designed with the shed owner in mind. Want to offer a larger product that can operate a full tiny home? At EcoEthics Solar, they have the necessary product, training, and capacity to meet your customers' needs. Installation for the SunSaver is simple and takes just 45 minutes. You can even install it right there on your sales lot or at the manufacturing facility. EcoEthics Solar even provides hands-on in-person training if necessary. Plus, they will provide you with video tutorials and handouts with specific installation instructions that keeps adding a solar-powered electrical system to your shed fast and simple. In many cases, the end user can even perform the installation once the shed is delivered to their home. If you are interested in purchasing a unit for display and then drop shipping your orders, or even ordering multiple units to have available as you build, contact my friends at EcoEthics Solar at 336-250-1284 or email sales@ecoethicsolar.com.
Absolutely. I told you before this started, I'm not a salesman. You know, in a past life, I was in the logging business for 10 years. I have a forestry degree from Virginia Tech. I was a card-carrying lineman in IBEW Local 70. I've been blue-collar and worked my whole life. My back gave out, so I had to find something else to do. So I'm in the building materials industry, and my title is salesman, but I'm not a salesman. I'm a normal human being. I'm sitting here, you know, with a hooded sweatshirt on. I've got dirty work boots downstairs. I'm not that guy that's going to come out and you know, baffle you with the BS. I'm going to tell you the truth. I would encourage them to ask questions, to look at what they're, you know, to look at their freight spend, to make sure that they're not spending more on the freight than the material. Just to keep an eye on it, you know, try to deal or talk in landed pricing. A lot of times, some of the games I see out in the industry, some folks, and no names will be mentioned, will quote really low material pricing. But then, you know, when you get the invoice, you'll see giant markups on the skid or the freight, and that's where they're making up some margin. So speak in landed pricing, so you're truly comparing apples to apples, and just make sure, you know, that you have a salesperson that's going to answer the phone, that's going to be available, that you're going to be able to get in touch with. There's nothing worse than, you know, order short shipping or something shows up damaged and you can't get anybody to answer the phone to make it right or to hurry up and get that new material back out there. So I would encourage you to just, you know, evaluate your sources and, you know, it's not always about price. I know that's a big driver, but you know, sometimes the cheapest product is the cheapest product and you're getting exactly what you pay for. So, you know, ask some questions, ask about the UV protection, two sides, one side? Is it even there? Is it co-extruded? Is it a single layer? You know, there's just a lot of things that people that aren't in the world of plastic just don't know. And if you're not getting that information, there's probably a reason you're not getting that information. So just ask the tough questions, and you'll know from the answers if they're shooting you straight or if they're giving you a sales pitch.
Man, I love it. I feel like that could be a 30 second promo, just that alone, for wanting to watch this episode. There is a lot of shed manufacturers that are, you know, I mean, they have dedicated purchasing procurement departments, and they're, you know, like you said, the customer's driving sort of the product. So when you have the time to take the time to learn more about it, I mean, that's what they need to do. You show up, I'm assuming you'll be at some of the shed trade shows and, you know, just different trade shows that probably a lot of the listeners go to, from the Shed Expo, Garage Shed Carport Builder, NFBA. I don't know what all else is out there, but there's tons of trade shows where you can market your product to the listeners who are going to be listening to it. So that's awesome. And
I am generally at every one of them. Actually, NFBA was just a couple weeks ago, so I was out there. I actually went to IBS. That's probably not really for the shed builders. That's a large scale show. It's really not even the world I live in. I'm more of the smaller, the regional shows. NFBA is a good one. The Shed Expo, the Garage Carport and Shed Builder Show, the Construction Roll Foreman Show. You know, those are I spend a lot of time there. And we talked earlier about, you know, the Amish community. I have a lot of customers in that world, a lot of, you know, landline phone calls and a lot of hand delivered credit apps. And it's, I enjoy it. I get accused of being too in the weeds a lot, and I'll spend half a day working on an order that might only be, you know, $1,200, but, you know, that $1,200 order is important to that guy, so it's important to me. You know, I don't take the size of the customer into consideration when I'm applying my effort. A customer is a customer is a customer, and they deserve attention. But yeah, I'm at all of those things. So if anybody's listening that don't already know me, I'd encourage you to at least stop by and say hi and introduce yourself. I'm sure we know some of the same people out in the world.
For sure. Well, you said you're located there in Virginia, but you got a good phone number, email? How might they get a hold of you? Website?
The cell phone number, if they want to call, is 540-226-9903. That's my personal cell phone. I don't believe in having a work cell phone and a personal cell phone. You know, as much as I say I'm not a salesman, I am in sales, and that phone's with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm never off. I'm never out of the office. I'm always available. I'll get back to you within a couple hours in most cases, unless I'm on a plane or something. Actually, my son made a funny comment not long ago. My wife was asking me if I could be off for something. I don't remember what it was. And he said, well, Mom, your buddy's in sales, so he can be off whenever he wants, but he's never really off.
Yeah.
And that made sense. That was as good analogy as I've ever heard. And of course, if they have access to email, it's just buddy.pullen, P-U-L-L-E-N, at amerilux.com. And that's A-M-E-R-I-L-U-X. So it's just my name with a dot in the middle at amerilux.com. But that cell phone, you call, text anytime. If you miss me, just leave a message. I promise I will call you back.
I echo everything you're saying, man, on the sales approach too. I always try to make myself considerably available. This industry, I like to say, in the, you know, maybe shed space specifically, is like over communication is never really an option. They want communicated to. There's a lot of over promising and under delivering, and like people get really disappointed in that. So, some of the things you said today just were spot on, man, as far as like, you know, answering your phone, just being able to answer your phone, be there whenever somebody calls. I mean, those little things really matter, and they begin to set up shop in a person's mindset about how your business operates and things like that. So I always try to tell people, I'll get back to you the same day. If I can't get back to you the same day, it's rare, but I'm just terribly busy, if that's the case, or recording, or like you said, on a plane or traveling somewhere. We drive a lot across the country. So, I'll be out in Virginia, this summer. So I don't know, maybe I'll have to see where you're at, and love to swing by, meet you, buy you lunch, and hope you get some calls, man. I hope people know more about you. It's we kind of view the podcast as a way to just get in front of people and talk about your products, your services, or talk about your stories. We didn't even really get into who Buddy Pullen is, but maybe we can do that sometime. But you know what? The best way to find that out is just give you a call and an email with the numbers you suggested. Love your products. Wish you guys lots of success. I've been doing this here recently. You might have nothing. This is off the cuff. I didn't prep you too much for this. Do you have any questions for me? Shed related, not shed related, podcast related. I really don't care what question you got. If you don't have any, that's fine. But one or two questions, and maybe I can elaborate on if you something comes to mind.
You're immersed in the shed world almost exclusively, and you asked me where do I think it's going. Where do you think it's going?
Man, it just like every time we put a ceiling on it, we find out that's a glass ceiling. So like, you know, some of my first interviews going back with Gideon Zook up there in Pennsylvania was talking about in the 70s, late 70s, how him and his two brothers were building sheds. And his dad says, two of your boys are going to have to get out of this. You're going to flood the market. You know, just imagine, you know, now like 60 shed manufacturers in Lancaster County or something of that nature. I don't know what it is. That's just what I've heard. But I mean, even during COVID, you know, we sort of thought the same thing that you did, like, oh no, what are we going to do? Where's this going? And inventory flew off the shelf. Like we weren't having a problem selling. We're having a problem building. We couldn't get the build times down. It was 14, 18 weeks, things you never heard of for a new build, and people were buying. And I was like, I don't even understand how you're able to decipher the difference in 14 and 18 week lead times accurately. I mean, it's just because like for some people, 14 weeks or 18 weeks both sounds like no deal, but they're not going to go anywhere else and get it. Like they're going to take what's available because there's no inventory. So, you know, it is a hybrid approach in some ways. Now people are trying to set themselves apart and do some different things. So not just in design, but also in the products that they carry. And there's just new things coming to the market. I mean, it's really cool. I'm excited about some of like the solar approaches at some of these things. I'm trying to, wrap my head around where some of those things are going. You were talking about some of the green things and a couple of the guys that advertise with us is Mobino Solar Solutions. And then Ecoethics Solar. And I just re-interviewed Ecoethics, but I want to get with Mobino again in the future. And just like some of those products coming to the market where they're self-sufficient and self-sustaining, that's just impressive to me. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, instead of a traditional louvered vent, you can actually move the air around. So now all of a sudden you can take someone in, you can sell them the shed if it's an inventory piece on the lot and it's cheaper. Or you can provide your own power. And that's what a lot of people are looking for because some of them want complete off-grid systems. But, I mean, beyond that, just even like the Rampage doors I think is cool. You know, the RV-type looking door that raises up and down. That way you can just drive your mower in. You don't have to open the doors to the side. It's just a little something different. And every shed lot I go to, they're trying to set themselves apart just a little bit somehow. And some do that through price. Some do it through service. Some do it through products. Some do it through all of those. But man, it's just interesting to continue to watch it morph into tiny homes, greenhouses. You know, guys are going into play sets and chicken coops and dog kennels to try to offer different products that you just wouldn't have seen. You'd have had to go to, I don't know, Tractor Supply and get something like that, or like a big box store to get that at one point. Now they're able to specialize in that and then make a whole business plan and off of it. It's just cool to me to see like small America mom and pop ingenuity that's driving the economy move forward with like just creativity. So I guess that's what I would say, man. That's my overall arching thoughts on it. So yeah. Anyway.
And then in the quality of the build, I mean, it's, you know, most of these guys that at least all of them that I know of and work with are putting out a quality product. And, you know, I haven't seen anyone really chintz down on the framing or the materials. You know, they haven't tried to cheapen the model to extend the margin. And that's what attracts me to the world is that they're doing clean, clear, honest business and just trying to make a living. You know, if I can find a way to help those guys do that, I'm all about it.
You got it, man. Love your product. Love your sales approach, your attitude and everything about it. Look forward to meeting you at one of the next shows. I'm sure we'll run into you if I'm not able to stop by.
I've seen you at a couple. I'm familiar. I'll track you down.
All right.
Because there's one thing we'll not let you do is get away without at least saying hi and having a conversation. I prefer a face-to-face in-person meeting anytime I can have it.
That's right. Amen. I appreciate that. Buddy, I appreciate you being on today. It's been great.
Thank you. I appreciate the time and the exposure to the listeners. If there's anything I can do in the future to help out or come back around, I'd be happy to do it.
You got it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Shed Geek Podcast. This is Mo Lunsford of Union Grove Lumber. We would like to welcome you to the Union Grove Lumber Studios. Hey, we're this year's studio sponsor.
And this is your host, Shannon Latham. Here at the Shed Geek Podcast, we give you education you can use and entertainment you need.